Today, let's not talk about migration then. Hi again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics World, that is post covering finance and property news. Well, in the immediate period after Jacinta resigned for reasons to do with her comments relating to the Indian community and the Indian community calling for an apology over the hurtful migration comments, quote unquote, we had some information from the ABS relating to overseas arrivals and departures in Australia to July 2025. And they are at pains to highlight that those statistics report the number of international border crossings rather than the number of people. And also, when you look at the data, they are quite keen to stress the departures as well as the arrivals. Total arrivals was an increase of 7.4% 1 year earlier, but total departures was an increase of 10.3% 1 year earlier, but there were more than 2 million arrivals and 1.8 million departures. Now, this is part of the ongoing discussion about the whole migration question and to what extent we can make anything from these statistics, because as the ABS highlights, of course, the overseas arrivals and departures and the migration statistics, well, they're not the same, but the question is, are they linked? Well, they probably are. And in fact, the Institute of Public Affairs put a release out saying that to the year to July 2025, there were 348,420 arrivals. That's the highest on record for the period, exceeding the previous record in 2024. And the net permanent and long-term arrivals in the July month was 68,960, which was the second highest July net arrivals on record, just below the record set in 2023 at 72,770. And that means that the net permanent and long-term arrivals in the 12 months to the 31st of July was 459,740, the second highest on record after the same period the previous year. And Daniel Wild is quoted in their release as saying the latest data from the Australian Bureau of Statistics shows once again a record number of net permanent long-term arrivals entered Australia in the first 7 months of 2025. And they produce this chart just to highlight the trends. Now, they go on to talk about the fact that while net permanent and long-term arrivals and net overseas migration differ slightly, they remain closely related. The latter, in effect, is an adjustment to the former to incorporate the 12 over 16 rule, whereby an annual arrival counts as an overseas migrant arrival if the person stays in Australia for 12 of the following 16 months. Conversely, a departure is counted as an emigration or expatriation if the individual lives overseas for 12 of the following 16 months. And they go on to say that determination as to whether a person makes a permanent or long-term journey into Australia does not incorporate the 12-16 rule. Since measuring net overseas migration necessarily lags behind permanent and long-term movement accounting, net permanent and long-term arrivals can act as a proxy to estimate net overseas migration. As Mr. Wild says, as the IPA has previously highlighted, the federal government agency, the Centre for Population, explicitly states in its handbook, Fundamentals of Migration in Australia, Migration Concepts and Measurement, that the net permanent and long-term arrivals measure is, quote, an early indicator of future migration flows. And they go on to say this new data follows attempts by sections of the media and the Australian Bureau of Statistics to shut down the migration debate. And Wild also says there is growing anger in the community about Australia's out-of-control migration program. What we have seen recently is Australia's political class and elites doing whatever it takes to shut down debate on policies it does not want to be challenged. Now, in the release from the ABS, they do again highlight the fact that net overseas migration and the overseas arrivals and departures data is not the same. And they suggest looking at the overseas migration data, which of course is heavily delayed. But nevertheless, look at the statistics that came out anyway. This is the total overseas arrivals and departures July 15 to August 2025. And here you can see it broken down between the long term and the short term and the visitors. And therefore, the total arrive is just over 2 million and the total departure is about 1.75 million. Looking at it from a breakdown of that in more detail, the visitor arrivals, the short term ones, a total of 743,200 trips were recorded. That's an increase of 12.8%. compared with the corresponding month of the previous year. The number of trips were lower by 6% than the pre-COVID level in July 2019. And New Zealand was the largest source country, accounting for 70% of all visitor arrivals. And here's a chart just showing a little bit of a pickup and the breakdown with the source countries. And you can see New Zealand there continues at the top, then China, then the UK, then the USA, then Japan, Singapore, Korea, South Korea, of course, India, Hong Kong, and Taiwan. And they also show that from an arrivals perspective, well, New South Wales had the most significant number. Victoria followed on, of course, and the other states were there too. Now, looking at the short-term returns, international residents return each month by destination country and change at the state and territory level. This is for short-term trips, of course, once again. And you can see there that the short-term resident returns are up a bit. You can see that the returns from Indonesia, New Zealand, and the UK were the top three. And you can see that, once again, New South Wales was at the top of the list, followed by the others. But if I just come back to what Mr. Wiles said more broadly about this migration and data problem, the federal government has deliberately and dramatically increased Australia's migration intake, which has contributed to destroying the dream of homeownership for too many Australians, has played a large part in creating a prolonged per capita economic recession and has fanned the flames of social division. The elevated level of migration is no longer a post-pandemic catch-up, but the new normal under the Albanese government. It's something that Australia simply cannot afford, with housing, infrastructure and services unable to keep up. And that, for me, is the key point. We can squabble about the statistics and how we should measure it, but the overall trends still, to me, are quite clear. And we have a situation where we have too many people coming in, matched not to the infrastructure build, whether that's housing, whether that's hospitals, whether that's schools, whether that's roads, because of the lack of joined-up thinking. And then when the government effectively tries to paint over the cracks and say nothing to see here, and then argues that this is just a catch-up from the COVID period, you know you're not being told the full story. The truth is, migration is extremely high, way too high, for our ability to handle it, which is why, of course, we've got pressure on housing, amongst other things. So we need to just get clear about where we are and use the statistics appropriately, of course, but not try to mislead, which is what I think has been going on. Which means, of course, that they don't want you to talk about migration. But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. And thanks for watching. I'll see you again next time.